This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Tonight we're recording at Kate's house. It's a Saturday night and we're all cozied up on the couch with the fire on. And I've got to say, Kate, you've been a fantastic host so far.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. I know this is the first time I've actually had the podcast at my house, so I thought I better turn it on for you guys.
It was funny, Kate, because you momentarily turned into a 70-year-old Hills resident because you were peering out the window because you could hear music and you were like, is that a party going on? Well, on a Saturday night?
Well, I felt like I'd promised you all that it would be nice and quiet and a great place to record. And I did momentarily turn into my father. I've got to say, I'm my father's daughter.
Are you making sure that no one's parking out the front of your house in your prime position as well?
No, I don't have a problem with that at the moment. I do have a park right out the front. But I do you know what? I probably would be pissed off if someone took it.
Mm.
That's a warning to you guys.
I had to laugh today because we also spent the day together and we caught up with our Nana. And for some reason, we got onto the topic of Love Island.
I love how you say for some reason, like it's not the highlight of our lives at the moment, this television show.
I have to fill Nana in on what's going on.
Exactly. And so Nana's 87 and she's in a nursing home and our mum was there visiting her as well. And we were explaining the concept of Love Island because strangely, she's never seen it. And it sort of blew her mind a little bit.
And we did have to fill her in on the sad news that Brad has left Love Island.
That's a bit of a spoiler there for those who haven't caught up.
I'm still recovering from the shock of it all.
Well, for context, we decided to show Nana a photo of Brad and her response was absolutely hilarious.
It wasn't what I was expecting. So she thought that Brad looked like our Uncle Andy, who's 60 years old. She has had cataract surgery recently. I think she might need to go back in and have a look. No offense to our Uncle Andy. He's a beautiful man, but they don't look alike.
But then at a second glance of Brad again, she also thought that he looked like her father.
Mm. Well, so, I mean, that's I would feel pretty good if I was Uncle Andy and our great-grandpa Jack. I'd be pretty happy with that.
At the end of the day, someone's going to be the most attractive and someone's going to be the least attractive. There's nothing you can do about that, but everyone's opinion's different. In my opinion, that's what it was. I went and done that. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone had to take it.
After months of speculation, Chloe Zepp revealed she is anti-lockdown and a COVID conspiracist. On Friday, the Queensland influencer took to her Instagram to share she could no longer keep her mouth shut on the topic. So, what did she say?
So Chloe shared a post on her Instagram story that said, you know what, I've kept my mouth shut and I easily could keep it shut. The lockdowns haven't affected me physically, financially or mentally, so there is no personal agenda here, apart from the fact that I do not support what is going on. The solution is officially worse than the problem. And to the individuals personally suffering through all of this bullshit and have for the last year, my heart goes out to you. My entire news feed is filled with family, friends, small businesses all suffering right now, but from the solution. What my newsfeed isn't full of is people with the problem. Chloe then tagged her partner Mitch Orville in the post, who then shared it to his own followers.
Well, she didn't stop there. She also shared a quote saying, the worst part of censorship is everything is fine, trust your government. And in that post, there were all different words blacked out. She also posted a question box and asked, how do you feel about what's going on in the world? And she added the caption, why should anyone stay quiet about what's going on? It's our basic human right to have freedom, as well as a freedom of choice. This is not the new normal, and I'm happy to stand for our basic human rights. Interestingly, on Friday night, Chloe deleted her original post, but Mitch kept his up on his feed.
I can imagine she was getting a lot of backlash from that original post, and we will go into it further because it did really anger me, this post.
I think, though, it's important to kind of set the scene about what's been going on in Chloe's life, because I really feel for the last year or so, there have been a lot of rumors circulating about Chloe being anti-vax. Now, these rumors have stemmed from Chloe moving into the wellness space. So she has launched a sort of meditation and wellness app called Bloom, and she also recently launched a website called WellWeb. So for a lot of people, Chloe is a bit of a professional in the wellness space, despite not having any qualifications on the topic.
Well, I think the rumours really started to heighten after the birth of her son, Artie. People seemed to notice that she and Mitch didn't publicise any of Artie's vaccinations, despite the fact that they shared a lot about the other milestones in his life.
Well, it actually came to a point where Celeb Spellcheck was questioned whether she thought Mitch and Chloe were anti-vaxxers. And then Mitch and Chloe hit out on their YouTube and said, no, we've just been looking into it ourselves. And yes, we are going to get Artie vaccinated. However, we're currently building his immune system up.
Gotta love all the influencers who are like, I'm just looking into it myself. Dr. Google. Yeah. That's all they're doing.
That's the biggest indicator. When anyone says I'm doing my own research, they may as well just say straight out, I'm an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah. And the thing is, even though they said they weren't anti-vax and they were going to give Artie his vaccinations, they never actually confirmed that they had done it or documented it on their social media channels.
What was really disturbing is recently Artie was sick and he had a really high temperature. And instead of, you know, getting a doctor involved or giving him Panadol, Chloe used apple cider vinegar to try and bring the temperature down naturally. And he ended up having to be rushed to hospital because the temperature got that high.
And as we discussed in a recent episode, Chloe was also caught out supporting a hair salon owner who announced she was banning anyone who received the COVID-19 vaccine.
Her sister, Kate Zepp, has also been incredibly outspoken on this topic. She called people sheep recently for believing in COVID-19, and she's also called the vaccine poison and denied the existence of the virus.
Do you guys think that Chloe might have come out with her comment considering she was hanging out with her sister Kate on Thursday? Because Kate shared a post of her and Chloe with their babies and they were in a lift. And she captioned the photo, family with a little love heart, and added, P.S. I had to wear the mask around my wrist to enter this building. Now, Chloe and Kate were both not wearing masks.
I'm sorry, but it's actually mandatory to wear the mask on your face, not around your wrist when you're entering an apartment.
Well, Kate Zepp's also been calling out people for not talking out about COVID as well.
Yeah.
So I wonder if she's kind of got in Chloe's ear and guilt tripped her into saying something.
We did hypothesize a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about what Kate Zepp said that maybe she was annoyed at Chloe for not speaking her truth about the topic.
Yeah, because she's got a much bigger following than her, but she's also got heaps more to lose from voicing her opinion.
Yeah, but I feel like it's pretty obvious if you've got a close family member that is willing to put their name to it, you probably do believe in it. So unless you come out and say that you are anti it.
Yeah, if I was shouting from the rooftops that COVID-19 was all a scam, I think people would assume that you guys thought the same.
That's right. Well, what has the reaction been like online, Kate?
Well, it's interesting because Chloe actually decided to post this statement as an Instagram story, probably to reduce the backlash she received on her actual feed.
Well, it's not the most visually appealing photo on her feed either, is it?
Yeah, but I do think that the decision was made not to post it as an Instagram feed post because that is where a lot of commentary does come in and it's really hard to moderate that. Whereas I do believe her inbox would have been inundated with people against what she had to say. It is interesting when you look at Social Blade, though, because over the last 30 days, Chloe has lost 3,600 followers. So on Friday, when she shared the Instagram story, she lost 988 followers. And then the following day on Saturday, she lost 897. So Mitch also shared the post and he has lost 630 followers over the last 30 days. And then on Friday, he lost 230. And then on Saturday, 68. Now, while these are big numbers, I feel like in comparison to their massive following, it's not that many.
That being said, I really feel like the tide is turning on this couple. People are frustrated, particularly those in Sydney and Melbourne who know or have family members who are suffering from COVID-19. Like, this is a very real virus, and it makes me so mad that these people are diminishing what is going on at the moment.
I was really disappointed in Chloe's post because I've been following her for a couple of years now, and to begin with, she was really likable. There wasn't really anything wrong with what she was posting. However, in the last year or so, I've really noticed this shift about her being very problematic. And while I feel like we've known for a while these were her views, I was somewhat impressed that she had decided to keep her opinion to herself. However, to push this anti-lockdown and anti-vaccine propaganda to her young and impressionable followers is extremely disappointing.
She deserves an unfollow. That's why so many people have unfollowed her.
I really dislike the way that Chloe uses the word solution in her post. And she's saying that the solution of COVID that the government is using at the moment is lockdowns. I'm sorry. The solution is vaccinations. And she's been completely misleading in this post. The lockdowns are a short-term solution to stopping spreading this. But the long-term solution is vaccinations. And she is is completely anti-vax. Mm. So I'm sorry, but if you want people to get out of this position that they're in regards to those with small businesses, those with mental health issues, I'm sorry, but we need to be encouraging everyone to roll up their sleeve and get vaccinated.
And you've only got to look at the UK and what's happening in Europe and also in America to see just how serious COVID-19 is. And to say, oh, but I don't see anyone with it in my news feeds, that's because the government has actually been handling it extremely well. It's only up until now that we've seen things explode in Sydney.
Obviously there is contention over whether the government has done enough to get enough vaccines, but in regards to keeping people safe, I think these lockdowns have been one of the only solutions that they've had.
Yeah, it's quite clear that Chloe is coming from a complete place of privilege because she's currently based in Queensland, where the effect of COVID has been quite mild in comparison to Victoria and other places in the world. And while Chloe may not have been personally affected by the pandemic, the effect continues to be devastating for millions of people around the world. So over 4 million people have died because of COVID. And the most deaths have been recorded in the US, with 608,000 people sadly losing their lives to COVID. So as you said, Amy, in comparison, in Australia, we have sadly lost 912 people's lives, but that is nothing compared to America and India. So when you look at those stats, it's pretty clear that the government has done a very good job at managing the pandemic, and lockdowns work at stopping the spread. And while I do understand that lockdowns are devastating for a lot of people mentally, emotionally, and financially, they do save lives, and hopefully this is something that we won't have to see, as you said, if people get vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Sophie and I understand the impacts on business. We run a small business, and it was not a great year last year due to lockdowns. So I can completely sympathize with people who might be questioning, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're locked down for this period of time. But at the end of the day, it's to keep people safe, and it's people's grandparents that are dying from COVID-19.
But it's not just grandparents. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. There's like a handful of people who are in their 20s and 30s in ICU at the moment, hooked up to ventilators. If we just say, okay, no lockdowns, we let people continue walking around in public as they are, the hospitals are going to fill up so fast, and we're not going to have any ventilators to keep people alive.
Yeah, it just annoys me. And I just think it's extremely selfish of Chloe to presume just because her life hasn't been touched by COVID, it mustn't exist. And because it's not on social media, it mustn't exist. How about you turn off your phone and watch the news and see how it exists in the world?
But it's amazing how many people they can find on social media that have somehow been affected by AstraZeneca or by Pfizer vaccine. I mean, they can Google those stats, but they can't even Google, oh, what did the hospital look like in the UK last year?
And the thing that is coming from such a place of privilege as well is her saying that she hasn't been physically, financially, or mentally affected at all by the lockdown. I don't know. Just starting off with that, it's like, okay, well, why are you having such a comment on it then?
Her business would be bloody booming. Online businesses.
Well, I think she was saying that because she was saying that she's very empathetic to people who have been affected by it. But yeah, it just doesn't sit well with me at all.
I didn't personally see much empathy for people who'd either gone through COVID themselves or had family members who died from COVID.
I don't at all agree with anything that she said in this post. I'm just saying I think that she may have watched that video that went viral and thought, because it was hard not to watch that video and feel something. While I didn't agree with a lot of what was said, I definitely felt sorry for that woman. Mm. And I do think that mental health and suicide is going to be a very big issue after this.
Yeah, the whole point of that video was, though, she needed to call for more government support for people who are sole traders. It's not about, oh, let's open it all up and my life's just as important as this person's. I think she missed the mark there.
I'm really hoping this isn't something that we see other influencers doing in a bid to kind of boost engagement on their posts and try to stand for something.
I feel it's incredibly damaging for Chloe's brand. I wonder if she has lost any brand deals since hitting out like this.
Well, would you, if you owned a brand, would you think twice about giving Chloe Zepp money to promote us?
Definitely. Definitely. Yes. I would not want to be connected with any sort of anti-vax, anti-lockdown movement at all.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. I think she's in a privileged position, though, where she does own her own brand and she's not relying so much on brand deals to come in. It's just really frustrating because I feel like there are quite a few influencers now that are sharing this viewpoint with Chloe. Do you think it's because they're so out of touch with the real world? Or do you think it could be something to do with the fact that they've got so much time to Google this type of stuff?
I think at the moment it is quite on trend to question things and be quite critical of the government. Also, a lot of young people don't want to be locked up because they assume that this illness is something that only affects older people. So I feel like a lot of young influencers have a very selfish mindset that because it doesn't directly affect them and their friends, that they don't really care about it.
Do you think it's also because Chloe Zepp is kind of in the health and fitness wellness space that a lot of other wellness influencers sort of have the same opinions as her, and that's why we're seeing a lot of it online because they're in that wellness space?
I think it's because people have access to the internet and all these other opinions, and they're letting other people form their opinion, and then they all kind of then have the ability to connect with each other and with such ease.
I think just to wrap this up, the thing that is so worrying is the fact that Chloe has positioned herself as a health and wellness expert, despite the fact she clearly has no formal training in any of this. And this is why I find this messaging that she is putting out to young, impressionable followers so damaging.
Yeah, I think I'm going to listen to the doctors when it comes to informing me about COVID-19 and lockdowns. And if anyone doesn't agree, obviously you have the right to your own opinion, but please don't feel the need to DM us. We've had a lot of anti-vaxxers DMing us, and you're not going to change our opinions at all.
And it will be very interesting to see where Chloe and Mitch stand on vaccination when no doubt it becomes mandatory to have it to travel.
What's that? Is that the bath?
Of course it's not the bath, you fucking idiot. There's the bath there. That's the kids' toilet.
Is it?
Yes.
Why has it got a plug on a tap then?
Because it's for checking your kids' shit before you flush it.
Oh, that's grim.
Yeah, I know. That's the Continental, isn't it?
As Victorians were thrust into their fifth lockdown on Friday, attention moved to how influencers would behave. Kate, people were quick to jump to conclusions about some influencers' behaviours.
Yeah, well, one of those conclusions was that Sophie Keisha had fled Melbourne lockdown again because she turned up on her Instagram stories in the Wit Sundays. However, Sophie was quick to claim that she actually arrived a week ago but hadn't let her followers know. She said this was something that she usually does when she's on holiday so she can take some time to unwind on the trip. And I mean, she had posted a few things on her story, but apparently they had been pre-recorded ads.
Unfortunately, I think it was just a case of bad timing for her.
It is interesting because Sophie Keisha hasn't got the best reputation in terms of lockdown, and I can see why people would have jumped to that conclusion. But once the situation had been explained, there were still people that were thinking that she was lying. Do you guys think that some people let their dislike of certain influencers get in the way of thinking about the situation logically?
I definitely feel like there is that gotcha moment for a lot of people. And because more people have time to be sitting at home analyzing the behavior of influencers, which is something that we do as well, I feel like there is more of a thirst to kind of catch out these people.
Do you really blame them though? Because there have been so many times where influencers in general have been caught out maybe twisting the truth a little bit in order to go away during lockdown.
Oh, I definitely don't blame them, considering it was a little bit hazy as to when Sophie arrived in the Wit Sundays. But Steph Claire Smith is another influencer that's in a similar boat to Sophie Keisha because she's been accused of fleeing the lockdown to go to her property in rural Victoria.
I feel like it's important to point out that neither Steph or Sophie has actually broken any of the lockdown rules so far, but people are saying morally they did the wrong thing by leaving. What do you guys think?
Well, in the case of Steph Claire Smith, she's left just before the lockdown restrictions have come in, but whereas Sophie Keisha, it was a week before she claims to have left. So with Sophie, it does seem like she's been unfairly painted with that brush to say that she's done something wrong because she hasn't.
The thing with Sophie is that if she did leave a week ago, it didn't look like Victoria was going to go into a lockdown a week ago. Whereas with Steph, it seems like the decision has been made quick. We better go up to our property in rural Victoria before 11:59 on Thursday.
And the thing that is so dangerous about that is obviously spreading coronavirus potentially to vulnerable communities in rural areas. Yeah. So, I mean, morally, I do think she probably just should have stayed put instead of going.
And so many people have been guilty of doing that, fleeing over the border before the lockdown restrictions come into place.
It is interesting because, as you said, Soph, Steph didn't technically break any of the rules. It does seem morally wrong considering she is quite a role model for a lot of people.
Yeah.
However, it does make me think, if I had a beautiful property in rural Victoria with a tennis court and a massive property to walk around, would I go there for five days?
The thing is, I put myself in the shoes as well. And I say, no, I wouldn't. I'd feel really bad. Of course, it'd be tempting. Everyone would want to escape and have a little bit of a holiday away.
But you just don't do it because it's the rules and you don't want to be
spreading
it. Yeah,
but it wasn't the rules. The rules were set in at 11:59 on a Thursday, so she was allowed to travel up there.
But people were still at risk. They only put the time frame in so they can organise the police to be at the borders and everything.
But, yeah, and also, obviously, a lot of these rural communities don't want people from the big city to come in. And
oh, look, I don't think she should have travelled there at all, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate and think, you know, I don't have my own holiday house, so I'm trying to put myself in her shoes and think, well, what would I do?
The thing is, it's a bit tone deaf because so many people would be watching Steph's Insta stories and being like, oh, well, I'm stuck in my tiny little apartment in Melbourne. I'm not with a tennis court.
Do you know what, though? At least this time she actually did admit that she was doing her lockdown up at her property, because there's been times in the past where she said she's taking a break off social media and it has clearly gone up there secretly.
And I think the whole issue is, we shouldn't really be treating this time as though it is a holiday.
I did find it very tone deaf on Saturday night when Steph shared a photo of herself in the spa at the property with a glass of wine. I was like, I wouldn't have done that.
But that being said, though, when we're looking into any influencer's life or rich person's life, we're always going to be jealous. It was like when Beck Judd got a lot of criticism because obviously she's isolating in a huge mansion. Unfortunately, that's just life, and some people have more money, some people don't.
Yeah, but I did see Sarah's Day complaining about being in lockdown again in her absolute mansion in Cronulla, and I just think, don't put it online. Have a whinge to your family and friends, but don't put it online.
But that being said, when Steph did go offline and not share Instagram stories at her property, people assume she was doing the wrong thing anyway. Just, so it's like, damned if you don't.
But that's different because she was concealing the fact that she went to the property.
I just love how she kind of subtly put it into her Insta story. I'm just at the, you know, I'm in my property. I do. It does crack me up, though, because you guys are probably some of Steph Claire Smith's biggest fans, so it's probably paining you to have this conversation, but it's an important one.
Yeah, I still do love Steph, but I'm not happy with her. I'm disappointed.
What's wrong with you guys? My diamond earring came off in the ocean and it's gone.
There's people that are dying.
Last week, former Love Island contestant Molly May shared a juicy Get Ready With Me video where she answered followers' questions. Now, Kate, what were the best bits from this video?
Well, my initial reaction when I saw this video was, oh, God, it's going to be your typical boring Get Ready With Me that they really don't answer anything. However, Molly May did not hold back. I think the most interesting revelation to come from the video was that Molly and Tommy have been trying on engagement rings. So
Tommy's been trying on them too?
Well, he's taken her out to try the engagement rings on. And Molly said that they were just shopping and decided to spontaneously try on some rings for some fun, but they haven't chosen one.
Do you guys think that's actually something people do? Because I know Elle Darby and Connor Swift, they were shopping for engagement rings probably a few months before he popped the question.
Well, it's definitely a good idea. At least you end up getting the ring you want. But I feel like it does take a bit of that excitement and surprise out of the situation.
I kind of feel like, for me, it gives me a clue that the girl might be on the guy's case about it. Or that they're really picky about the ring, because I feel like if you are an influencer, a lot of people scrutinize the engagement ring you get. So there'd be a lot of pressure on these boyfriends of Instagram to get it right. This is what Molly May had to say about the process.
I know Tommy, and I know that he won't cut corners with this one. He just says to me, he keeps saying, we just need to pick a ring. We did try on some rings. So that was fun. We haven't chosen a ring. We just tried them on for a bit of fun. We were just shopping and we just thought, we'll just try some on. So we did try some on. It was really, really fun. This is like a whole new world to me. I have no idea about diamonds and picking a ring and where to get it from and to get an unbranded diamond or a non-branded. Like, I don't know. Like, there's so many things you've got to take into consideration. And people say, like, the best place to get a ring from is in Dubai, but you can't go over to Dubai right now. So I don't know. Like, as soon as we sort the ring, that is when he'll propose to me. And obviously, he could pick the ring without me even knowing, and I don't really care. I feel like if you pick the ring and you know that your partner's got the ring, then you obviously know that a proposal is coming soon. So yeah, I think maybe he'll just do it all out by surprise, and I won't know anything about it, which would be really, really special. Because I think obviously when your partner chooses the ring, you're just gonna love it because you know that they've put that thought and effort into it.
Do you know what's the worst thing? She is probably sitting there now hanging out for the proposal.
Well, do you think Tommy's watched the video and is like, okay, and she wants a surprise? Like, it's almost like she's dropping hints for him.
I really like that Molly felt comfortable enough to open up about this on YouTube, because she did say she generally avoids conversations like these, because people like the Daily Mail just turn it into a quick headline, and then obviously speculation grows around when they are going to get engaged. But I like the fact that she was clearly genuinely excited about this and wanted to share it with everyone.
Well, that's exactly what the Daily Mail and the Sun did, because not only did they announce that Tommy and Molly are looking at engagement rings, but there's also a rumor now that they have secretly married on their 2-year anniversary.
Do you guys think that maybe Molly has brought up the engagement ring issue due to the rumors that they had broken up due to that UK influencer?
Well, that's pretty interesting. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because it really is a power play to be like, well, actually, we're getting engaged soon. He's already looking at a ring.
Because for those who don't know, the couple are only 22 and they have only been dating for 2 years. So it is really interesting that they are looking to take the next step and be so public that they're on this journey with it.
You know, on Love Island, how it's such a huge thing for them to ask one another to be their girlfriend. Can you imagine the proposal, like what the proposal has to be?
Well, he got Ellie Belly, that's her soft toy, to, I think he wrote a note from Ellie Belly, and he did this whole elaborate thing, and it hasn't stopped there. So last week the pair went to Bath to celebrate their 2-year anniversary, and Molly shared this insane Instagram story of the room that Tommy had paid someone to set up for him. There were love heart balloons everywhere. There were big bunches of roses, rose petals, champagne. And then they spent the whole weekend out and about doing stuff. I mean, I don't even think, I'm trying to remember, Reese and I didn't even celebrate our 2-year anniversary.
So how did all these rumors actually start that they were in fact married?
Well, it's so silly, because they went out to see a theatre production, and Molly shared a picture of her ticket, and on the ticket it said M. Fury, which would be Molly's name if she was married to Tommy Fury. So I think it was clearly done for a bit of a laugh. I do not think that they are secretly married at all. I don't think Molly May would be the type of person that would want to be secretly married.
I'm just super excited to see what this ring looks like when he finally does pop the question. I feel like it's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, well, back to Molly May's YouTube video. She also revealed why she's not commenting on this season's Love Island. So Molly confirmed that she has purposely not been talking about the show, as she has spent so long distancing herself from the tag of being a Love Islander. This is what she said.
Yeah, as for me not tweeting about it and talking about it loads on my social media and stuff, it isn't for any other reason other than that I have spent so much time removing myself from that bracket that I feel like talking about it all the time and tweeting about it and speaking about it, just it would put me right back in that bracket. And for me, my work is so important and my job is just everything to me. And I don't know, I think about these things a lot. I guess that's quite an honest thing for me to tell you guys. But yeah, that's just the truth.
What do you guys think about this? Because for me, I almost feel like it's biting the hand that's fed you.
I actually think it's a really clever move, particularly when it comes to her branding, because reality stars in the UK are a dime a dozen.
So are influencers.
Well, I'd have to say that she is one of the largest influencers in the UK and YouTubers in the UK at the moment.
She is. I mean, I disagree, because look at someone like Charlotte Crosby, who's always been proud of the fact that she's on Geordie Shore. She's remained popular since appearing on the show. I don't know. I just think everyone's always going to know that Molly May was on Love Island, especially with Tommy.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's a little bit hard to distance yourself when every time there's a milestone in the relationship, everyone points out that they met on Love Island. I don't think there's any shame in being from Love Island.
But do you think she's trying to distance herself from the Love Island brand because it has received a lot of criticism in the past couple of years?
I do agree with you somewhat, Sophie, that it's a clever move, because she is then not having to compete directly with the new Love Island contestants, because of course they will then gain further notoriety.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, how does it feel to wake up an engaged woman?
Well, you know how sometimes they say when you finally attain your dream, it's always a letdown? They were wrong!
In a recent Q&A, Skye Wheatley has taken a swipe at her partner Lachie Waugh for not yet proposing to her. This is what she said.
If a guy hasn't engaged me after 4 years, then I don't want it. So he can fucking stick the ring up his a-hole.
I wonder if this is something that they've been discussing in couples counselling, because it doesn't seem like it's going too well, because Skye and Lachie have been together for 4 years.
I do love the phrase, so he hasn't engaged me.
Like, do you mean proposed?
Well, they clearly haven't been to any stores trying on engagement rings just yet.
No. Sophie, have you weaved this into the chat because you've been with Brandon for 4 years and he hasn't yet got down
engaged
on one
to you.
He has not engaged me yet. No.
It's funny though, because I feel like if Lockie did take Skye out to try on engagement rings, she would have vlogged the whole experience, because she does not hold back with her vlogs.
To be fair, I feel like men are very practical. I think Lockie would view the situation and think, okay, we're renovating this house, we've got two kids, when do we have time to plan a wedding?
Yeah, but women don't think like that at all. No. Not to generalize, but most women are like, well, I've had a baby with you, are you going to propose to me or not? Yeah. Are we going to be get married?
Well, my boyfriend seems to think it's a bigger commitment to buy a house with somebody.
Yeah, I agree. Putting your finances together is a big move, probably bigger than planning a wedding.
I know a couple that's been together for over 14 years. And the guy still hasn't popped the question. And she is just wanting him to get down.
How old are they?
They're in their 30s.
Is he someone that has always said he doesn't believe in marriage, though?
No, he said he'd rather have kids first.
You never know. Lockie might be pulling the wool over her eyes and be planning some epic proposal. It kind of reminds me on Friends when Chandler was trying to pretend to Monica like marriage was the last thing on his mind.
So he's trying to get her off the scent of it.
Maybe.
Chandler is a complex fellow, one who is unlikely to take a wife.
What does he think? Does he think I'm just going to wait around for nothing?
Monica, Chandler is against marriage and always will be.
This has absolutely blown my mind. Steph Claire Smith has revealed that she and Taylor Swift are actually friends.
I want to know, as a normal person, how do these things happen? Because I can't imagine suddenly going to New York and befriending Taylor Swift, like perhaps in a dream.
Well, after sharing the initial photo, Steph was inundated with messages asking how they actually met. So she explained that when she was living in New York, she used to be trained by Justin Geblin, who happens to be Taylor Swift's personal trainer.
Imagine that, just happening to be trained by the same person that trains Taylor Swift. They must be bloody good.
Are we forgetting, though, that Steph Claire Smith is a huge celebrity in her own right?
Well, and she's wasn't at the time.
But she's a model, and all Taylor Swift befriends are models.
Yeah. Yeah, but this was when she was living in New York. So she had only just started or embarked on her full-time modeling career. So she wasn't a big name at the time. And I don't know if Steph is that huge in America anyway.
No, she's not. So basically Steph said that Taylor Swift's personal training session was scheduled in before hers. So they happened to run into each other in the change rooms, and apparently there was paparazzi waiting outside for Taylor. So Taylor wasn't really in any rush to leave, and they started chatting to one another. And Steph said that Taylor was just so humble because she went to introduce herself, and Steph said, oh yeah, I actually know who you are.
I do remember reading something where Taylor Swift said that she hates when people pretend that they don't know who she is. So I feel like in that instance, Steph played it really well.
Yeah, she must have played it well, because she even dropped that she didn't have any American friends. And then Taylor's like, oh, well, I can be your first American friend. I want to tip my hat at Steph Claire Smith. This was very well played.
Well, things must have gone pretty well, because they caught up for brunch the next day, trained together, and then Steph also went with Taylor to adopt her kitten, and that is in fact Olivia Benson.
It really does blow my mind too, because I'm a fan of both of them, and I just find it so weird that they have even spoken and hung out.
Well, Steph said they caught up a total of 4 times, and then they text for about a year afterwards. Can you imagine, you know, when you text a guy and you're waiting for a response, can you imagine like the anxiousness of texting Taylor Swift and her maybe not replying?
And how did it just teeter out? Like, did Taylor just not reply to Steph?
I feel like it.
So who are you guys more jealous of in this situation? Taylor for being Steph's friend, or Steph for being Taylor's friend?
100% I'm jealous of Steph. Yeah. Taylor's at another level.
Yeah, I would definitely choose to be friends with Taylor Swift in this situation.
Maybe we didn't play our cards correctly when we met her.
Well, what, at a fan meet and greet? Yeah, I think we weren't really playing it that cool. I mean, we did get rid of our costumes that got us there, but
maybe we should have been like, oh, yeah, you're our first American friend.
So basically all you've got to do to befriend Taylor Swift is become an international model and go to the same personal trainer.
Well, Steph really does fit her aesthetic, doesn't she?
Yeah. Because at the time,
That very supermodel gang with Gigi Hadid. And
do you know what, though? This might sound deluded, but it really annoys me in a way, because I feel like I would be genuinely really good friends with Taylor Swift. Like, as in, if she knew
that's
me
a bit deluded.
And we were like on the same level, I think we'd get on really well.
I've told my boyfriend that so many times as well. It's a bit sad.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode.
Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we would love to see where you're listening from, so please make sure to tag us in your Instagram stories at @outspoken_the_podcast. Also, you can join in the conversation in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.